This week on Come Receive the Light, we will start with a conversation about creatively using media as an outreach tool.
One thing I would think of is that our Lord himself went out to the synagogues, to the streets where the people were. He did not sit in his house and wait until people come show up. Today, that's not available to us, but we can go to that space that people freely will tap in, which is the public media.
If you're someone who says, that's fine for them, but I could never do it, well, stay with us. We have some ideas for just about everyone. Our second discussion will focus on salvation, which is to say becoming more like Christ as we mature as a Christian, personally, with our spouse, and with our children.
I see that as the doorway to love my children better by setting Christ first, because I'm going to please Christ by doing better by my children, and I'm going to do better by my children because I love Christ.
Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light, a legacy broadcast from the Orthodox Christian Network, hosted by Father Christopher Metropoulos, the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. And I'm Mike Trout, your friendly weaver of words, as we go through another half hour together. Are you new to Come Receive the Light? Well, we've been sharing our conversations for more than 20 years, taking our listeners into so many different worlds and areas of life and living, all through the understanding of the Orthodox Christian faith. We're on the web at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And we can be found as well on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and Google+. We are listener-supported, with friends around the world helping us do all that we do. If you'd like to become a part of our support team, just click on the Donate button on the website homepage. Again, that's myocn.net. And now with our first guest, here's Father Chris.
We welcome to the program today Father Anthony Tendilian. He is the associate pastor, or the assistant priest, at St. Vasilios Church in Peabody, Massachusetts. Welcome, Father Anthony.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
You have a YouTube channel, I've learned, where you post weekly messages. So I'm very interested in that, and I know our listeners will be as well. Can you tell us about this ministry that you started?
I started this about 7 years ago, and what my goal was that I reach out to people that I couldn't on regular basis because I was not a priest. I didn't have the ministry in the church. Mm-hmm. And as a graduate of the seminary, I had the yearning of bringing the message of the gospel to the larger community. And so I started creating videos, at first by myself. Then I had other people who I could interview and enlarge the ministry in that way, and it grew into about, at this point, I have about 125 videos that I have posted on YouTube channel, and I have also a website where it's more concentrated. There are in different topics, and people can more structured way look at it.
You know, many of the pastors across the country are using media now in order to share their message. We did that, 20-plus years ago when we began the Orthodox Christian Network. Then was Come Receive the Light, which is with parishioners down in Fort Lauderdale. Were you involved with other people, or was this just your idea to go forward? How did this come about?
This was introduced to me by non-Orthodox, non-Christian person who introduced me to the public stations, public access television stations, and I started that way, which in some sense is another form of outreach where it's not directly church related, but it is something that belongs to the public. And I started working with public stations and working and creating videos for them. And then as I started working for them, I started looking for other means, wider audience. And YouTube became very handy because it is one of the largest media providers today.
Certainly, it is, certainly. What about specific group? Now, were you trying to reach a certain group of people, or were you just casting a very large net? What was your purpose?
as being by myself at that time, I just shared among my friends. And then later on, as people started watching, they started subscribing to my YouTube channel. And that way, every time I post, I don't even know who these people are. It started getting wider and wider. But at first, I would just share with my contact information in my email addresses. I would just send email out to my friends saying that I have created another video. If you're interested, please watch. If not, please ask me and I'll remove you from this list. And so it started spreading that way to a wider unknown audience.
And what is the website that you have? Can you give us that URL?
It's called Feast of Healthy Thoughts.
Okay.
Feasting like a feast and a healthy and a thoughts that's connected together.
All right. Is it .com? Is it .org?
.com. It is .com.
.com. All right. Very good. I know in the metropolis of New England, I've come to learn that there's a young adult ministry called Orthodoxy on Tap. So I'd like to know what you think of that ministry and what is the secret to its success, because I understand many young people are going to it.
Yes, I just started one at St. Vasilios, or with St. Vasilios, and that is quite successful. I have heard that there is another one happening in Boston area conducted by the Metropolis, and that was even more successful. And this is a relaxed atmosphere. After work, people have to have a dinner, and mostly young adults from 25 to 35, 40-year-olds come together, and in our case, we provide pizza, basic food, and people are free to order whatever they want, and we invite a speaker who, after having a little light dinner and having conversation among ourselves, coming to know the newcomers and catching up with those who have been with us already. Then we give a chance to the speaker to introduce us something very modern. In some, in this instance, in tomorrow night we'll have one at 7 p.m. and the speaker is actually Holy Cross professor Dr. Patitsas, and he will talk about consumerism. And so consumerism and Christianity, how does it end up being in the same bucket? And in the past, we have had a professor from Fordham University, Dr. Tilley, who spoke about being spiritual but not religious, which is another hot topic in modern society.
Definitely, definitely, yeah.
Yes, we have spoken about addictions and spirituality. Dr. Fitzgerald is also a professor at Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline that you're president of. And this has been successful in a sense that it's a relaxed atmosphere and it touches upon modern hot issues that people are interested to hear about.
Okay, let me ask you this question, because there are so many topics out there, like you say, hot topics that people are talking about. Sometimes the church is fearful of discussing those things. So let me ask you, I think it's a very important question, is then how do you choose the speakers? Where do you find your speakers? I know you come, as you said, to the college and seminary here in Brookline, but where else do you go for your speakers, Father?
So far, I understand that it's very narrow where I can choose my speakers, and that creates a difficulty because we don't necessarily have a wide variety of Orthodox theologians and professors available to us. We have a small school, we have growing school, we have other priests that are in a place to speak. But we, first of all, for me, the criteria is that the person has to be obviously Orthodox, understand Orthodox theology, and also be able to speak about that topic from that perspective. And what I do, when I find the speaker, of course it has to be clarified through the Metropolis that this person is going to speak to our parishioners, that person will talk about something that he or she is confident to introduce.
Okay.
And then we'll discuss with the person, and then I'll introduce. And what I do, I create a small video with them, maybe 2 minutes, that kind of introduces the topic, and then I post it in our website and in other means of media. I put on YouTube so that people beforehand can see what the topic is going to be about, and if they're comfortable and they want to hear about it, they know, they have an idea what it is.
Did you study media before you became a priest?
I didn't. I was lucky when I first graduated from the Armenian Seminary in Armenia. I was assigned to the studio to create news for the public stations of mm-hmm. the country, the church news.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I came to be trained to create videos.
At
that time, I would just create a text and then sit with the editor and to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I started working with the access stations, community access stations in different cities, they have small trainings also. They teach you how to use the equipment, how to use the editing programs and the studio. And it's all free. And I would like to share this with a lot of people who are out there and want to create something, and this is available.
Yes. Very good. Well, Father, you've come a long way in what you've done, and my hat's off to you, as they say. I appreciate the fact that a priest looks to find new ways in which to share the eternal message of Christ. And clearly, media is one of the ways. Media is also the way, as we know, that some falsehood is put forward. So when we put forward the truth, it can challenge people. Let me ask you this. What advice would you offer other parishes and individuals who are interested in this type of ministry?
One thing I would think of is that our Lord himself went out to the synagogues, to the streets where the people were. He did not sit in his house and wait until people come show up. St. Paul went to the temple of the unknown God. That's where people were, and to the marketplaces. Today, that's not available to us. We cannot, like Jehovah's Witnesses, walk on the streets and catch people. But we can go to that space that people freely will tap in, which is the public media. And my advice would be that every church or whoever can put out their light in the public space so that if I freely choose to go in there, I have available things for my spiritual growth and direction where should I go. If I watch videos or audios, listen to audios in web, and I know that comes from the Orthodox Church, it gives me idea that this is where I want to be, and that's where I will go. Otherwise, how else can we reach out? It's very difficult nowadays.
One final question. Father, in your experience, can a parish successfully reach its parishioners outside of with modern media? Because I can hear naysayers saying, oh, no, you shouldn't touch media. Media should not be used. Have you found it successful, Father?
What I do with Orthodoxy on Tap, which kind of, as one of our parishioners said, shooting on my foot, but on the other hand, it's helpful. I also record the speaker during the Orthodoxy on Tap, and there are many people who are either working or they cannot come, and I post it on our website. And then I sent a general email saying, I know that you couldn't make it, I'm sorry for that, but it's available, you cannot ask questions, but you can hear the message. Mm-hmm. And many people will come to me and say, Father, I can't come this Thursday. I hope you are recording it. And that is kind of the other aspect that, you know, it is helpful for our parishioners. One thing that is my dream, that since this is the last question, I would like to share this. I have found a website in the Russian Orthodox Church. It's actually a server that has digitalized a lot of spiritual literature and patristic literature, and in a form of audio, they have stored in this server, and they actually give you access to the server where you can go and grab all these audios. Me personally, as a priest, I don't have a time anymore to read, to sit down. You know, I'm not a student anymore, but I travel a lot. So all these audios, thanks God, I have the gift of, you know, knowing Russian. I just download into my a little thumb drive, put it in my car, and as I'm traveling, I listen to these gems of our spirituality. I think that it could be true for anybody. You don't have to be a priest to be busy. People are busier than me out there, and media is that way of being able to to do the thing that you couldn't do otherwise.
Father Anthony, thank you very much for this enlightening conversation. We wish you the very best in this ministry, and we hope that OCN can continue to support what you do. Thank you, Father.
Thank you very much, Father.
Well, if we've given you an idea or two, maybe some encouragement, but need a little direction, just get in touch with us and ask all of your questions. We have worked with individuals and parishes for many years helping grow their media outreach. It's our passion and our calling. All of our contact information is on the website, myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And don't forget, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and Google+. You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network with Father Christopher Metropoulos. And he's back with our featured conversation and guest.
I'm joined today by Father Nicholas Hadzelis of the St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He's here to talk with us today about working out our salvation as a family. Welcome, Father Nicholas.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You know, when we use the term working out our salvation, we do that within the Orthodox community. Possibly our listeners are wondering what we're talking about. Can you explain that to us?
Well, there's this understanding that we work out our salvation. It's a daily process that we seek out Christ daily in our lives. From a point of view, from what I encounter a lot outside of the Orthodox Church, is this idea that we are saved. You know, usually once through the acceptance of Jesus Christ, we are saved. And for the most part, that's all that is required. But as I understand the Orthodox Church and the faith here, we are saved in our baptism, but we have to continually seek out Christ daily in our lives. And then, of course, we have the assurance of salvation. And so every day we have to intentionally choose Christ every day.
Mm-hmm. I think you bring up a very important point, Father, and that is that salvation for Orthodox Christians is not a static moment. It's a dynamic process that we work out with. Okay, so go ahead.
And so I've heard it. I'm not coining the phrase, but the statement, I believe, Metropolitan Callistos Ware has said it, and I was saved, I'm being saved, and I will be, and I am saved.
Yes, that's in the Orthodox Study Bible, too. I've seen it
there.
Well, let's talk for a minute about salvation, gaining salvation, as something which most people think is in the future, something that happens after we die. But is that really the case?
Well, we get a foretaste of salvation in our present lives, in our daily lives. And so even through Holy Communion, we get a taste of that salvation because we physically receive the source of salvation, Jesus Christ.
What does that word salvation, though, mean? I mean, is it just a good feeling that someone gets, or is it more than that, Father?
Oh, I would say it's more than that. It's oneness with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That it's more than just, you know, we like to fantasize about salvation just being heaven, but it's our relationship with Christ, presently and then eternally after we die. And so we have a true, meaningful, personal relationship with Him and enjoy, in a sense, that those fruits of salvation presently.
Let's move to marriage, okay? I mean, I'm sure as a clergyman, I know I too, we've done many, many marriages, and I'm quick to point out the Hear Us, You Martyred Saints, which is one of the hymns that we chant as we go around the table when they take their first steps as husband and wife. And how do a husband and wife, a man and a woman, which is what we believe, are married in the Orthodox Church? Tell us how a couple can work towards their salvation.
I think ultimately from the gospel, the man asked Jesus, you know, what is the commandments? And he sums it up, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And when we're joined in marriage, our closest neighbor is our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, through these two commandments, all the rest, everything lies upon this. And we understand that as, you know, that is the way to salvation, by loving God and loving our neighbor. So through our marriage, our spouse is our closest neighbor. It gives us a great opportunity to work all the virtues of patience, of love, of forgiveness, of mercy. And anyone who's been married will know there's plenty of opportunities where it comes to that. Am I going to be merciful? Am I going to be hateful? Am I going to be forgiving or resentful.
That never happens in marriage, Father.
No.
Come on. Patience, love, and mercy? Wow, you hit it right on the head, Father. Keep going.
And so by obtaining these virtues through our marriage, I mean, that draws us closer to Christ. And our marriage ought to be seen as, you know, the two become one. That oneness becomes one with Christ. And we achieve this through our marriage by showing those, by living those virtues that Christ gives us, that he shows us how to be. And so it's sacrificial in a way that it's not just out for my best interest and my own happiness, because I hear that a lot, that yes. I'm getting a divorce. Why? Because I'm unhappy,
right.
and I deserve to be happy. And so the whole family sacrifice for that one person to be happy. And that's a selfish act. In my opinion, it's just purely selfish. I want to make everyone suffer so I can be happy. And not saying that we need to suffer a miserable life so my family could be happy, but it has to be mutual, that I sacrifice for my spouse sacrifices for me, and we both meet the needs of the other. Both our needs are met. And as we do that in our sacrifice, we, you know, follow the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, not my will. We submit ourselves to the other. And in a sense, we find our humility. We find that patience. We find that mercy and love. And so we submit to the other, and it has to be mutual. It has to be mutual.
All right, let's talk about another martyrdom.
Yeah.
That's the martyrdom of parenting. Mm. And in many homes, I have to tell you, I think the inmates are running the jail. it is an out-of-control situation. But I know that there's good here, as I know there's a lot of good in marriage, having been married more than 30 years. I know there's difficult times, but you have to persevere, and you do work on your salvation right then and there. But I think in parenting, too, that's another tremendous step towards holiness. Talk to us about that.
Looking at our family with our children, you know, the parents are going to be their first teachers. The parents are going to show them what marriage is. The parents are going to show what family is. And the best way to show love to your children is by loving the child's parent. You know, they see what a functioning parent look like. And they learn, when I grow up, this is how I ought to love my spouse, because this is how I learned it from my parents. Ultimately, I think that's going to be the reality. This is the way I'm going to love my spouse, because this is what I saw from my parents. And that's going to be good or bad depending on the example given by the parent. And so within our family, we have to set Christ first. And there's another, you know, another gospel reading where Christ says, anyone who loves his mother and father more than me is not worthy. Anyone who loves his child more than me is not worthy of me. And from first glance, that sounds so harsh. You know, how can I love someone more than my children? But I see that as the doorway to love my children better by setting Christ first. Because I'm going to please Christ by doing better by my children. And I'm going to do better by my children because I love Christ. And that works with the same with my parents and works the same with my spouse, that to honor Christ, I have to love my wife. And because I honor Christ, I'm going to love my wife. And that sometimes means telling my wife or my children no. Sometimes it means telling them yes. You know, in a society that we don't want to tell our kids no, we give them everything. Well, for them to learn, I don't get everything I want, it's a valuable lesson.
Huge lesson. Huge lesson.
Huge lesson.
You know, Father, I have a feeling, Father Nicholas, that many people feel completely overwhelmed in their day-to-day lives today, and they sort of tumble, and it's almost like you're a surfer riding a wave, and you go under the wave, and the wave just keeps turning you and turning you and turning you, and you get sand in your mouth, and you get up disoriented. And I feel that many people's lives get to that point until someone comes in and grabs them by the collar and sort of pulls them out of the water and says, everything's going to be okay.
Right.
Being aware of our daily relationships with God really doesn't have to be work. It doesn't have to be flipping underneath the wave.
It doesn't have to be flipping under the waves. I think, and maybe I'm just coming at a different angle, that it's work in the sense that it's intentional. That not work like, oh, I have lots of paperwork to do, and it's begrudgingly, you know, done, but it should be intentional. And I think from the beginning, it's intentional, it makes it easier along the way versus 20 years into it and then trying to find God and then trying to find peace, breaking all those bad habits we've already established. You know, I see this with parents bringing kids to church, and they tell me, it's so hard to bring my children to church because they're so young and so small, and sometimes we just don't come because the children, you know, they can't handle it. And my thought is, well, they'll never learn to handle it if they're not in church. They'll never learn to pray if we don't pray with them. Oh, but they're too young, they're too small. And we can say that for everything, for fasting, for confession, for prayers, that they're just too young for it. If their first words, you know, after mom and dad or mama, baba, you know, is Christ or Panagia or, Mother of God, and saying prayers, if they just know this is our daily routine, they'll know to do it. And you bring them to church as infants and let them see what's going on, and you keep them involved. As they get older, they're just naturally there. They have no memory of not being in church. And it'll be their second home, as the church should be. You know, their home outside of their home. And so many times I hear it that they leave early because the kids are hungry, whatever. And I totally believe, you know, children who leave early become adults who leave early. Children who come late become adults who come late.
Oh, Father, and they become part of our Hatch, Match, and Dispatch Church. We know those people.
Yeah.
We know, unfortunately.
And it just becomes easier that way. But if you start off with, you know, following through, and the kids, that's all they know, and as husband and wife, that's, you know, this is what we do on Sunday, we go to church, and you start that way, it's really easy to maintain it versus trying to change a habit and start doing something different.
Okay. Thank you, Father Nicholas. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Father Chris. Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to do some additional study on this topic, we have resources for you in our online bookstore at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. There is a link right there on the homepage to the OCN bookstore. It's just another way we can offer assistance to you, and you can offer assistance to us. Any purchase made does generate a donation for us. You're listening to Come Receive the Light, an outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network with Father Christopher Metropoulos as your host. He is the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology, and I'm Mike Trout. We're a weekly outreach. We'll be back about this same time next week. I hope you can join us, and I hope you'll bring along a few friends. In the meantime, remember to always have faith in what you listen to.